This morning, during our Bible class, we were discussing some things about how our world has changed away from our Christianity. And I brought up an article that was broadcast by Paul Harvey back in 1965. And it was called, If I Were the Devil. And this came up in a conversation in a class a few weeks ago. And I said I was going to share this with you, and I'd like to do that tonight. I have the article or the broadcast on my cell phone here, and I want you to listen to it, and then we're going to talk about this for just a few moments. Now I want you to remember before I play this, this was broadcast in 1965. Now, there are some people in this room that don't know 1965 because they weren't here. I was a grand age of 7 when this was done. So I don't remember this either. And I didn't even know about it at all until it was brought up here in the Bible class a few weeks ago. And I went home and listened to it, and I was absolutely amazed at what I heard from a man almost, 50 years ago, of things that that would be happening today if the devil continues in his work. So y'all listen to this. It's called If I Were the Devil.
If I were the devil.
Can y'all hear that?
If I were the devil. If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. What'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Does that not scare y'all? It is. Now, he was looking 50 years into the future. And he pretty much nailed us right on the head, didn't he? And I was agreeing with everything that he said, because everything has happened. But when he said the day would come when he would get whole states to approve of gambling as the way to get rich, what do you see on the billboard down the street? The Mega Lotto. Everything he said has come to pass. Now, you know, like I said, that is something that should scare you, because it scares me. I was 7 years old when this came out. We were still having prayer and Bible readings in church. I was second grade. We were still pledging allegiance to the flag and including God. And by the time I got into fifth grade, that was over. So that's how fast it worked from the time he made these statements. You can see that beginning to work. And as I think back to that point in time, which I can see everything unfolding, and you can too, exactly the way he said it. And as alarming as that is, I have something else I want to share with you, and then that'll be our lesson for this evening. I wanted to share this with you to let you know how the devil controls the world. And he has always controlled the world. In fact, he had the whole world in hand at one point, with an exception of one family, and that was Noah at the flood. And he is so close to having the whole world in hand again. And it's handfuls of people like us that keep him from controlling the entire world. Now, what I want to read to you now is something else that I have come up with. And this is another message, If I Were the Devil. And this message is to Christians. Y'all pay very close attention to this. If I were the devil, I would seek to distort God's word just enough to make it seem even better than it appears. I would take the message of grace, for instance, and would gradually distort it to the point of coming across as giving more liberties than God intended. Since grace is totally free and unmerited, then I would suggest that no matter how you live, God's grace is active in your life regardless. This makes you totally immune from any future consequences for your actions. Now, doesn't that sound reasonable? After all, God is a God of love. We are told that His love is unconditional, which is another one of my brilliant distortions. And no matter what I do, He still loves me unconditional. So what difference does it make how I live my life? It doesn't affect His grace or love for you or me, does it? If I were the devil, I would tell people that there is no need to repent once you are saved. To repent, I would tell them, is simply God's provision of forgiveness on the cross. It didn't cleanse my present or future sin, just my past. I know my distortions are not always logical, but most Christians can't discern these things anyway. If I don't need to repent after conversion, then why did I need to repent at conversion? If I can get them to believe that their future sins have been forgiven, then there is no such thing as personal sin anymore. So regardless of what I do, it's already forgiven before I do it. Brilliant, don't you think? With this teaching, I can keep Christians willfully sinning, yet believing all is well with their souls. If I were the devil, another thing that I would do is distort the truth, so that no matter what I do, I could never be cut off from him after being his child. After all, once a son, always a son, right? Yes, I know Jesus told the Pharisees that they were of their father the devil, but once a son, always a son. Christians would rather believe that lie than the truth. If I'm eternally secure, then nothing can change that. Keep in mind that this is my oldest and favorite deception. This is the one that I told Eve. You will not die. Yes, I am the father of lies, but people seem to forget that fact. Incidentally, Adam and Eve were cut off and could only regain fellowship through blood sacrifice. But I don't remind people of that. recently I have been working on a new and equally dangerous distortion. My devil demons are working overtime to cause the church that believes God's word that it is no longer relevant. I know that sounds like a hard act to pull off, but here's how I have done it. Instead of emphasizing the importance of God's word, I have managed to overemphasize the role of the Holy Spirit. I am telling them that there are mysteries in the spirit realm that goes beyond the legalistic word. Many of God's choicest saints have fallen for this one. They are so afraid of being labeled as legalistic that they are turning away from God's word in droves and embracing anything that seems supernatural or unusual. They gladly follow anyone who has heard from God, regardless of what they say, even though it's not found in His word. One distortion I especially like is that it's okay to drink and to even get drunk once in a while. After all, I tell them, we are humans, aren't we? Doesn't God want you to have a little fun from time to time? You see, once I get God's people to compromise a little, then I can get them to compromise in other areas as well, like going to X-rated movies, premarital sex, and a host of other things. Let's face it, it's hard to see the difference between the church and the world, isn't it now? Isn't that a great thing? If I were the devil, another thing that I would be working in is music. I've managed to remove the word blood from most popular Christian songs. I hate the word blood. I have also been quite successful in influencing people to write lyrics that will focus on themselves instead of magnifying God. Have you noticed how many songs now are feminine, talking about love and kissing and dancing? If I can diminish the thought of God from our worship and from our lifestyle, then God's people will focus on each other instead of focusing on God. Every little distortion helps. My time is so short, so while I am working, I can undermine the testimony of God's people, making them feel comfortable in their sin, and certainly working to help them lose the salt in their taste, and their light is dimming so rapidly. All of this is working to my advantage. All of my distortions are working to undermine the fact that Jesus came to save His people from their sin. Now, they still believe that, but they will practice sin while they believe it. If I were the devil, this is what I would do to the Christian. Isn't that something? And you know that's exactly what he is doing. We face all of these things every day of our lives. He makes sin so pretty. He makes us want it, desire it, to think we have to have it. And He knows what sin to put in front of your face. It may be different than the sin He puts in front of mine, but He knows exactly where you are weak and how to attack you. Just like in the audio we just heard from Paul Harvey, He knows exactly how to keep the world just like it is. He knows how to turn you away from God. And that's why we have to work so hard to keep God in our lives, to keep that understanding of God's will in our lives, so that we will not give in to the devil and his wily ways. Tonight, it may be that I have actually read some things or you heard some things through the recording that has caused you to realize that the devil has been working on you, that the devil has come into your life and has made these changes in you and has made it difficult for you to be a Christian and has caused you to fall. If that's the case, my friend, God still welcomes you back to Him. He will receive you once again. Confess your faults one to another. James has told us that. God is willing to forgive if you will confess your faults and repent. We want to give you an opportunity to do that tonight. And if you're not a Christian, you are living the life that Paul Harvey talked about just a few moments ago, but you can change that by giving your life to the Lord. You know, We don't have to think about if I were the devil, because the devil is here, and he's working on you day and night. And we must work to keep him out of our lives. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.